WTIC. Oh, this is so much fun, this kind of conversation. Having great arguments. My producer Mike and I are arguing the whole time that we're not on the air, and I wish you could be privy to it.
Fat shaming doesn't need to end. It needs to make a comeback. Some amount of shame is good. We shame people out of smoking and into wearing seatbelts. We shame them out of littering, and most of them out of racism. Shame is the first step in reform. It's what goads people into saying, maybe I can do better, as opposed to, I'm always perfect the way I am. How dare you?
So I think what he's describing here is that we've been undergoing a change, that society pressures people to do all kinds of things a certain way. Even just going into a store, you say good morning to the clerk behind the counter. You say thank you when you check out. There are expectations of behavior that kind of grease the wheels of the fact that we're forced to interact with each other. And the way we dress and look and how disheveled we are, or how fat we are, these are all part of it. And there's a movement now to say that none of that matters. And we should actually, not that it doesn't matter, but we should be standing up and cheering for the fat, gross body just as much as for the lean, attractive one. I wanted to get your feelings on this. 860-522-9842. Matt calling from Middletown. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how are you?
Go ahead, sir.
So, great show. Bill Maher made a couple of points that I kind of agree with, but one of the things he said was we shame people out of being racism or out of being racist.
Yep.
And nowadays, you can't criticize anybody if they happen to be of another color or religion or anything like that. You're automatically labeled, instead of saying, you know, they're not behaving correctly or whatever, you're a racist.
Well, this
and
is.
I'm sure it goes the same way. People, you mentioned that some people suffer, and of course they do, from health issues that cause them to be overweight, mm-hmm. et cetera. But that didn't cause them to pick out that outfit that you're looking at in Walmart.
Yes, well, that's my take on it, the outfit part of it. The larger point Bill Maher's making is just that people would perhaps work harder to not be fat if they were getting signals from people. It's just like if somebody smells and you say, do you know you've got body odor because it's hard to be around them because we're not used to smelling? If you tell them that, then they know. Or if you tell somebody they've got bad breath, they would go home and fix it in a minute or not
right.
even as far as home. If you told them, but if you deny them the truth of your feedback, that encourages the ugliness to become more pervasive, doesn't it?
Hence PC, right? It's all the PC culture.
Yes, exactly. And I guess that's what I'm objecting to, but this particular aspect of it. Thank you, Matt, for the call. 860-522-9842.
All right.
Well, of course it is. Todd with you, WTIC. One of the interesting things in the argument that I'm having with my producer, Mike, is his feeling that basically whatever we all do on our own time or with our own decisions about how we behave, how we look, how we talk, whatever it is, that there's no difference. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but this is what I'm interpreting from him, that whatever we do, nobody has any right to judge us or treat us differently, that it's up to us how we want to express ourselves. And he's pushing back at me my libertarian instincts and why don't I agree with him as a libertarian. And I basically do agree with him, except that people have to understand that there is a cultural code, and you get left behind in certain things, in all things, I guess, or get advanced by other people. You get embraced or thwarted in your ambitions based on how you treat other people. And part of how you treat other people is the language of courtesy, the language of grooming, the language of fashion. These are all parts of how we come to understand and respect each other. And we have the codes, whatever they are. Right now, the left has successfully said that we should be allowed to look as ugly or inappropriate based on cultural norms as we choose without suffering any penalties. Sorry about that. A little equipment meltdown in the studio here. We're all corrected. 860-522-9842. Tom calling from Naugatuck. Hi, Tom. He's gone again? Oh, my Lord. Thank you, Mike. 860-522-9842. Not really time to go to a call, as it turns out, anyway. So we're talking about fat shaming. And are you for or against, I guess? Do you think it should make a comeback? Do you think we're better off if we have a little fat shaming going on, the way Bill Maher does?
Fat shaming doesn't need to end. It needs to make a comeback. Some amount of shame is good.
So he talks about shame as a motivator. And, yeah, that we do have culture. And culture has norms. And those norms apply to virtually every move we make in life. And they go through changes all the time. But this one is pushed from the outside. We're being forced by a political movement for some reason to embrace stuff that we didn't used to embrace. And that's where there's a little division that develops. 860-522-9842. So let me, I'll give you both parts of the conversation here to reset this, because we had our little mishap. First is Bill Maher. Second is a little rebuttal from James Corden.
Fat shaming doesn't need to end. It needs to make a comeback. Some amount of shame is good. We shame people out of smoking and into wearing seatbelts. We shame them out of littering, and most of them out of racism. Shame is the first step in reform. It's what goads people into saying, maybe I can do better, as opposed to, I'm always perfect the way I am, how dare you?
All right, so there's part one and one side of the conversation, and here's James Corden with another side of the conversation.
That being overweight isn't good for us, and I've struggled my entire life trying to manage my weight, and I suck at it. It's proven that fat shaming only does one thing. It makes people feel ashamed. And shame leads to depression, anxiety, and self-destructive behavior. Self-destructive behavior like overeating. While you're encouraging people to think about what goes into their mouths, just think a little harder about what comes out of yours.
So James Corden has a point there that we don't know the reason that somebody is fat. It's not an optional thing for a lot of people, even though we treat it like it's the same as deciding what clothes you put on. And that's why I choose to focus on that aspect of it. I think it's not really up to other people to decide how overweight we are. But we do have a right as a community to have certain expectations with attire. And what's wrong with expecting of people that they dress in such a way, in other words, that they not be wearing tight, stretchy clothing when they're obese? Can't we have a cultural norm that says if you're obese, then wear loose clothing that doesn't persecute our eyes and our sense of aesthetic, and only wear something that shows off your body if there's something about your body that one would want to see? Is that hateful to feel that way? I don't think so. I think it's normal to feel. I feel like we're in an unreasonable era in which we're being forced to accept that which nobody likes to have to accept. That's my take on it. We talked about a similar thing a week or two ago with tattoos, and it's similar. It is, no doubt about it. Norms do change, too. There's no doubt about that. What's different here is a political organization latching onto something and artificially pushing it in another direction, right? The reason we're in this situation with regard to fat shaming is because it's part of the left's attempt to demonstrate compassion and caring about other people by saying it's everybody is beautiful and there should be no rules impacting the way people are. And there's some good in this, I think. There is. We get to have a little more latitude, perhaps. There's nothing wrong with people being feeling good about themselves. The trouble is, for me, it's coming from this external viewpoint. It's like the thing with kids that they can't learn that they lost the game. So you don't keep score. And there's a desire to deny cause and effect, to step outside of reality and say, we want to create a world that's unreal. Create a world where reality isn't allowed to permeate. If somebody's obese, you don't mention it to them. If somebody's dressing in a way that's appalling, you just smile and celebrate it. It's artificial, and I don't think necessarily, but in some ways it's better for people. Because it's true, the James Corden response has truth in it.
That being overweight isn't good for us. And I've struggled my entire life trying to manage my weight, and I suck at it. It's proven that fat shaming only does one thing. It makes people feel ashamed. And shame leads to depression, anxiety, and self-destructive behavior. Self-destructive behavior like overeating.
Yeah, so I think that part's true. I can't claim to know how to reconcile it all. But I do know that I don't want to have to look at people who weigh 300 pounds wearing the clothes of somebody who weighs 120 or 150. And maybe that's rude of me. Maybe it's insensitive. Maybe it's old-fashioned. But I do miss the times where people dressed up to go special places, and it made certain experiences more special because people dressed up. Anybody remember those days and long for those days? When there were cultural norms in terms of presenting yourself. And, you know, being fat is part of that package, I think. 860-522-9842. Tom Burlington. Hello, Tom.
Yeah, hi. As far as your topic on weight and how people dress in public, I got a perfect example just from this morning. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm overweight. I have a slight paunch, you know, and whatever. And that's my situation. But this morning, I have a daughter that is in high school, and she was running late this morning, and she asked me if I could bring her to school so I could, that would buy her some time to get ready. So I said, fine. So I had on I had a day off from work. I had on sleep gear. I had a T-shirt on and some, like, you know, basketball shorts from sleeping, you know. And I said, okay, I'll get in the car. I know I don't have to get out of the car. I just have to drop her off,
right,
and that's it. So on the way there, she asked if we could stop at Dunkin' Donuts because she wanted something to eat. She didn't have time to make breakfast. I said, that's fine. But I said,
that's fine. Anything she asks, you say that's fine, I guess.
I said, that's fine. She's a hard worker. She's a great kid.
Okay, so you love her, rewarding her.
I know. I probably am spoiling her. But
no, it's good, though. I mean, if she's
a kid.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
But my point is, knowing what I'm wearing and knowing my bodily shape, I said, normally I would treat you, but I'm not going in there like this. So you're going to have to use your own money that you get from your job. You know, you're going to have to use your own money for it. And she goes, okay, that's fine. But, you know, my point is, you see a lot of people out these days that have no problem with going out in public wearing clothes that are raggedy and
not. Yeah, they look like they just rolled out of bed. That's normal.
Yes,
now.
And that's how I looked, but I didn't plan on getting out of the car. But I had enough pride in myself to say, I will not go into a public establishment looking.
Right, right. So I do the same thing. I go to the gym in the morning, and I wear my gym shorts and a T-shirt, and then I take normal clothes with me in case I have to run an errand, because I'm not going to subject people to looking at me in my gym shorts and my T-shirt, except at the gym.
Yes, and I'm aware I'm slightly overweight, but then as a result, I won't just go in public wearing anything.
Yeah,
but you see people who are not only overweight like I am, but then are in like sweet pants and
you know, like their bra straps are hanging off. It's like, what are you? Aren't you embarrassed?
Well, they're obviously not. They're accepting the new normal, and that's what generational change is all about, and what makes this conversation fascinating. 860-522-9842. Thank you, Tom. Revolution Radio, operational control. WTIC, we're talking about fat shaming. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? Do we need a little more of it? Have we backed off a little too much? Robin calling from Newington. Hi, Robin.
How you doing? How's everything?
Well, it depends on what you have to say. I'm
I was just got in my car and I heard this conversation now off right from the beginning. I don't understand why people just don't accept people the way they are. Number one. Number two, on that note,
What does that mean, though? Oh, hang on. Point one, what does that mean, accept people? So if somebody comes...
people look at you...
Yeah.
So people look at you like, oh, my God. And, you know, if you're thin, like, oh, my God, look how nice she looks. If you got a pimple, oh, my God. I mean, why can't we just... My thing is, I've been heavy all my life. I've tried everything you could think of. I had the bypass surgery 7 years ago. Hospital, 17 surgeries. You know, just the whole thing to try to at least look better.
Mm-hmm.
And I did more when I was about 448 pounds than I was when I'm 205 with probably 100 pounds of extra skin on me. I don't have the money to get it tucked, but the point is I tried to do everything to make myself look better.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt worse and I feel worse to this day.
How about was part of your agenda not getting healthier?
That was the part of the agenda. That's my point. I tried to do it to get better, and it actually got worse.
Your health got worse as a result of losing weight.
Yes, I did. I do less now, and feel worse now than I did when.
Yeah, but I'm unclear if you're talking about physically you feel worse or emotionally you feel worse.
No, physically.
Okay.
I mean, I used to tie my shoes sideways when I was that big. Mm-hmm. Not like the time straight, just super weird things like that. But the point is, they look at me now and say, oh my God, you look so good. But I still have all that skin. I feel like terrible as far as physical now.
Well, I hear and you then, that there's not a simple answer to such an extreme journey. But
I think everybody tries to do everything, you know, to get skinny. I mean.
Yeah, well, because that's healthier, right?
Correct. Correct.
Thank you, Robin, for the call. It's great to hear from you. 860-522-9842. Louise, New Britain. Hello, Louise. Go ahead, Louise.
Oh, yeah, I feel sorry for that woman, but I think she's probably an exception. But I agree with everything you've said. And besides that, maybe how do we shame the fashion, so-called fashion industry, and the clothing stores? I can't stand... I mean, all you see is stretch pants, like leggings. Maybe they're okay on little kids, but, you know, at least wear a long top over it or something. Well, most don't, and whatever size you are. And the black stretch pants, I don't even know how anybody can stand wearing that all day long, tight. And in the summer, it's black, you know, absorbs heat and all that. And then the shoulderless tops that are everywhere. I can't stand that either. I look at that. It looks like somebody grabbed your shoulder and ripped your shirt down and left it there. It's supposed to be sexy. I don't get it. And the ripped pants, that's the worst thing. I've gone once or twice into a store, a nice store, like at the mall or something, and besides the you know, pretty nice fashion, they'll have these jeans that are all ripped. I mean, what's the point? How can you be ashamed to sell anything like that? And the prices.
All right. Louise, thank you so much. You know, I was dying for somebody to call and do that little rant, so thank you for doing it. 860-522-WTIC. WTIC. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in. 860-522-9842. Don in Farmington. Hi, Don.
Oh, hey there. I'm on my cell, but I can hear you pretty good.
Excellent.
I think it's very hard for people to lose weight sometimes, and people are pretty mean about it, but I do think what the last lady said, I mean, people are wearing my daughter, you know, she's the normal size and everything, but I will not let her go to school with just leggings on. Because it's just like every, you know, she's just, she's young, you know. Then you go to the streets and
what do you mean by that, she's young? Oh, we were just getting to the good part with Dawn. George in St. Louis. Hi, George.
Hi, Todd. You know, everyone has to abide by this Hollywood standard. You know, your teeth have to be straight and white, and then you got to comb your hair, and you got to buy the right clothes, and it's all garbage. You have to think like Democrats, like liberals. If you don't think like them, you're just out of phase. And you know, it's all garbage.
But how do you connect those things together? How do the white teeth and the stretchy yoga pants and thinking like a Democrat, you know what it comes down to,
Todd? Every day above ground is a good day, and that's your basics right there. You have to be happy with the kind of day that you're having.
So you're saying that I'm not sure which side of this now you're arguing.
But I'm arguing not to follow these ridiculous, stupid Hollywood standards. These are all sophomoric baloney that should be and it would do you good just to reject this garbage.
All right. Well, thank you for that, George. It's good to get your opinion, as always. 860-522-9842. What's that, Mike? Oh. Sean, hi.
Hey, Todd. The argument here is pretty much symptomatic of something we're not teaching in society anymore, and that is all acceptance has to come from within you and cannot come from external factors.
Mm-hmm. Well, wait a sec, though. The conversation about fat shaming is about, that's about external factors influencing us. So while our sense of ourselves shouldn't come from other people, we also integrate in a kind of societal dance with everything we do, don't we?
I don't really participate in that process, and I know plenty of people who don't. It's your choice to. You can accept yourself as who you are and decide. You know, I don't go around my life worrying about what other people think of me. If you like me, great. If you don't, don't.
So when you're going to a business meeting, you dress the same as if you're digging a ditch in the backyard?
Absolutely not, because I understand people present themselves is how they're viewed. I had called a while back and talking about that. I remember you were talking about.
Well, you're talking to me about it right now. So tell me what you think right now, not what you thought a couple months ago.
People judge you based upon how you present yourself. Are you clean cut? Me personally, I don't have earrings. I don't have tattoos. I don't wear jewelry. My hair's cut clean. My clothes are clean. If I'm in a business setting, I'm going to dress up a little bit. If I'm working in my backyard, it's a different story. But people will judge you on first impressions, on how you look, whether you're in shape, fat, ugly, tall, skinny.
Yes, but
whatever.
Why do you pay any attention to that?
Pay attention to what I do for myself or for how other people view it?
For how other people view it, for how society views it.
There are certain times that is appropriate. If I'm going into a business meeting where I want to do business with a multi-million dollar company, there's a certain expectation of...
Right, you made that point. My question is, why do you pay attention to those expectations? I thought you started off saying you don't pay any attention to anything.
Well, that's different. When I don't care what other people concern themselves with what I do. If you don't like the fact that I talk, you know, I talk about what I do, that's your choice. But that's a different thing when you're trying to get someone to want to work with you.
That's what the whole conversation is about. That's what society is. It's millions, billions of people on the planet trying to figure out how to get through the world and accomplish what they want to accomplish. And out of that grows social etiquettes and social norms.
But you'll never, ever gain satisfaction in life where you're never going to feel good inside by what someone else or some external factor does, whether it's the clothes you wear, or the friends you have, or your zip code, or your house. those kind of external factors, which is what I was referring to, will never make you happy.
Okay. Well, I understand. I understand that point, but there is some sort of integration of these two things. Sorry, I'm out of time, but it's interesting conversation, Sean. Thank you.